Feeling today? Man, oh man, we got a special, special celebration in store for you today. If you are new to Glide, we welcome you with open arms. If you are, oh, give it up for the new folks at Glide. If you haven't been here before, this is an unusual type of church service. We like to call it celebration. And we celebrate who you are. Wherever you are, however you are welcome here. Whether you be 30 years sober or 30 minutes, or perhaps you took a little nip before you came in, you are welcome here. Whether you hold fast and true to some type of ideology, or whether you are perennially questioning, whether you have a non-attachment to things, whether you hold on to beliefs very dear, you are welcome here. The diversity of Glide extends beyond skin color, beyond creed, beyond gender, beyond your identity. When you come to Glide, you're plugging yourself into something greater than yourself, and you find your voice if you stick around long enough. I encourage you to stick around should you feel something. The Spirit moves you in this celebration today. Before I preach, and I'm not preaching, I have some thank yous. There are so many people who make this possible, who work here to allow us to gather together and celebrate. Starting with Dan up in the booth. Give it up for Dan. We got Curly running the lights. We have, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank. Haruko, I know Haruko, so sorry. Running the camera. Hey, and everybody look over there. See that camera? That's streaming to a live feed to thousands and thousands of people who are joining us who could not physically be here today. Hello, online community. We have Clifford Coulter and the Change Band. Betty is in the booth back here. You can't see her. We got Vicky Lee in the main office really making things work here. We got the Glide Ushers right here. Give it up for the Glide Ushers who welcome you, greet you, and love you, and make sure you know how to get plugged in. And oh my goodness, look at these beautiful faces right here. Please give it up for the Glide Ensemble. Under the direction of none other than Vernon Bush. We got Harry Williams is gonna be bringing the word today. And would you please reach out and touch somebody? Hold hands if you're comfortable. I'm gonna ask Lisa Wheeler to come down here and bring us the opening prayer.
Thank you. Good morning, Glide family. Welcome. Heavenly Father, we just come to you so gratefully this day. We thank you for keeping us through the night and opening up our eyes this morning, prayerfully bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'm just so grateful to be a part of this community, a part of this family, and we welcome you with loving and open arms. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Right on. Shalom, salam, namaste. Thank you.
Good morning, Glide. How's everybody feeling this morning? We shall not be moved. We're going to sing that community song. The words are going to be up on the wall. I ask you to use your voices this morning and join with us in singing this song. We shall not be moved. Come on, put your hands together.
Just like a tree that's planted by the Lord. marching to freedom. We shall not be moved. Oh, we're marching to freedom. We shall not be moved. That's my country. That's planet Bongo. Oh, we shall not be moved.
We're speaking for freedom. We're speaking for freedom. We shall not be moved. We're speaking for freedom. We shall not be moved. That's my country. That's planet Bongo. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. We shall not. We shall not be moved. We shall not. We shall not be moved. That's my country. That's planet Bongo. As our tradition, ritual, there's people in here that you don't know. We'd like for you to embrace them, say hello, good morning, how you doing? So glad you're here. This is our community embrace. If you've never embraced anybody, some people are looking forward to this one moment just to be embraced and touched and held. Our human existence relies on this. Amen. Can I say amen? Amen? All right. Grab four or five people and hug them and say good morning.
Feel good? Give it up for the one, the only Glide Ensemble.
Oh!
one thing we all desire. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. This particular verse is from Psalm 122, and it's a particular psalm that my father used to say all the time when he opened the service. For those who don't know, my father was a minister, so I was raised in church all my life. And this particular song that we're going to sing, it's about being joyful that you're in a place where you're safe and you have community. And you can't wait to get here because you're going to see all your good friends. And you're going to be able to communicate. And you're going to be able to express yourself so freely. So this song, Let Us Go Into the House of the Lord, is about joy. And it's about what this place is about. Unconditional love. Radical unconditional love. So as we sing this first time singing this new song, you think about that. Song. Hope you enjoyed it. We every week we ask, re-strengthen us, restore our joy. We're gonna sing that song. Jen Allen Zito is gonna lead it. Here we go.
Renew my faith, renew my faith, renew my soul. Would you make me whole?
reclaim my soul. Make me whole. Amen. Amen. Give it up to the Glide Ensemble again. Change band. Amen.
Introductions in order here. We got Roscoe Gallo on the keyboard, Eddie Hall on the drums, Tim Landis on the guitar, Glenn Howell on the bass, Joe Cohen on the saxophone, and Joel Berman on the trumpet. Give it up for Cliff Coulter and the Change Band. Today, we are truly blessed to hear from none other than Harry Williams, Reverend Harry Williams. A little bio on Harry. Oh, you can sit down, Harry. Take this in. I want you to take this in, Harry. Take this in. He was born in Brooklyn, New York. Raised in Asbury Park, New Jersey, he holds a bachelor's degree from Keene, pronounced Keene University. In Union, New Jersey, Harry earned his Master of Divinity degree from Eastern Baptist Theology Seminary, now Palmer Theological Seminary, in St. David's, Pennsylvania. He's an author, how many books? 6 books. Thank you, Linda. Wait, don't tell me. In 2015, he was awarded a proclamation from the City of Oakland for his work in quelling street conflict in Oakland. This is a pastor of the streets, from the streets, for the streets. Harry not only serves in Oakland, but he's right out here in the Tenderloin, serving the Tenderloin community. In 2005, he was doing it through the Glide Health Clinic, and over the past 13 years, he's worn many hats and played many roles. And thank God he stepped up to be the pastor, the serving as a speaker at Glide Memorial on Sunday morning. Give it up for Reverend Harry Williams. He's going to be bringing you the good word after we hear one more song from the Glide Ensemble.
Let the church say amen. Can you say amen again? Do you know why you're saying amen? I used to always think about this when I was a kid. Why are they saying amen all the time? All amen is an affirmation to be present, to say, this is what's so. through all my trials, I'm not going to push them away. I'm going to be present with them and move through them. So this song, let the church say amen. God. Oh, help me. Glide Ensemble. Change Band.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Glide Ensemble and the Change Band. Give it up one more time, y'all. You know, they didn't only sound good this morning, they look good, didn't they? I'm looking at this choir, this great ensemble. They look like singing candy to me this morning. And I'm just so thankful to God for Brother Vernon Bush, who's just taken this choir. And we had a couple of birthdays. Is Tyree Leslie here today? Tyree had a birthday. Brother Tim had a birthday this week, am I right? Tom, stand up and wave at the people. Tom had a birthday this week. So usually we begin with a spoken prayer, but today I have a video prayer, and I want to thank God for Brother Curley, because even the pictures that he has put on the screen behind us have brought us into the mood of where we want to go in this sermon. So Brother Curley, if you're ready, let's have that video prayer. Somebody say power to the people. Somebody raise your fist in the air and say power to the people. We will resist. We will fight. Today I'll be sharing from the theme, Remember the Stones. After 40 years in the wilderness, the Hebrew nation prepared to march triumphantly into the promised land, Canaan. However, before the swords would flash and the blood would spill, they were commanded to cross over the Jordan River. There's only one thing. There's no bridge. In the book of Joshua, chapter 4, Joshua, Moses' protege, commands the priests to bear the Ark of the Covenant up on their shoulders. They walk to the edge of the river, and according to the story, the great Jordan River parts into two great towering walls of water, allowing the Israelites to march through the great walls of water until they had reached the other side. After that last person had reached their destination and before the waters crashed back downward toward the river, Joshua pointed at 12 of his soldiers and said, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take a stone on his shoulder according to the number of Israelites to serve as a sign unto you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When they crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." For Joshua, there is a power in remembering. There is a power in the recollection of history. There is a power in the preservation of the struggle for the next generation. In Ghana, West Africa, they call it Sankofa. Sankofa is symbolized by a bird with its head turned backward and its feet facing forward. The word translated from the Twi language means, it is not wrong to go back for that which you have forgotten. And today, as we stand just hours from the commencement of the midterm elections, as the headlines thunder in our ears with the fierce urgency of now, as history beckons us backward even now, but for a few minutes, we must remember from whence we have come and from whom we have come. A few years ago, a great many years ago now, I read a book, a Pulitzer Prize winning book called Parting the Waters, America in the King Years by Taylor Branch. It was a profound look at the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and the movement. It read like a movie, I couldn't put it down. One thing was clear as I reached the end of the book. I would have to make a pilgrimage to the southern states where the movement took place. I would have to see with my own eyes where the civil rights movement took place for myself, and I did. There is one part of my sojourn that I will never forget. One weekday afternoon, I wandered up the steps to the red brick Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. There was an unearthly stillness inside of the church. Except for a lone church secretary, the building was empty. With the secretary's permission, I wandered slowly into the main sanctuary. Alabama sunlight streamed through the stained glass windows. The church hadn't changed much since a 26-year-old preacher named the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had been its pastor. Wooden pews sank into the wine-colored carpet. In the serenity of that moment, I could almost hear the thunder of hand claps as field hands, maids, and taxi drivers sang, "I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around." I climbed the steps that led to the pulpit and I walked over to the lectern where King himself would have once stood. The church was about half the size of this building. From behind the microphone where King would have stood, I got a great sense of the miracle. It did not take millions of people to change the world. Just God and perhaps a couple of hundred people who could have fit inside of that room. And I felt the sense, the presence of the divine that day in the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. I felt the intertwine between God's power and man's faith. In that room where men and women said, "Lord, we'll surrender our bodies to be beaten for freedom." And where Almighty God said to the oppressed and the disinherited time and time again, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Freedom might be elusive, but it's expensive. Soon the homes and churches of people who spoke that word freedom were dynamited. With every victory, the cost mounted. The Great March on Washington, where King delivered the "I Have a Dream" speech, was followed by the bombing of the 16th Street Church in Birmingham, Alabama, where four little black girls were blown to bits. The civil rights legislation that gave us the right to vote caused many people to pay the ultimate price, their lives. The struggle has opened doors not just for black people, but for freedom-loving people all over the nation. But it came with bloodshed. There were people who said that we would only gain the right to vote in America over their dead bodies, and yet, here we are. There are some who said that legislation against segregation would never fall in America, and yet, here we are. There are some who said that our humanity and our rights to self-determination would never be recognized by law, and yet, here we are. No, sometimes, family, we have to sit down and look back at the sacrifices, the victories, and the losses. Sometimes, children, we have to look back at the bridge that brought us. Sometimes we have to count the stones. Sometimes we have to point a finger in the sky and follow the Sankofa bird in flight. For if we do not know the grand heights that we have climbed to get to this place in history, how will we and our children know that it is possible to climb to the next summit? And children, at this precarious part of our climb through history, there are some steps that are going to have to be made. You know, I remember the first time that I became aware that Donald Trump was going to make a run for the presidency. He started with some ugly remarks, my sister. He said nasty things about our Mexican brothers and sisters. He said they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. Sister Linda in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, he told audience members, if you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the hell out of them. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise. And on February 1st, 2016, as he watched security guards haul a protester out of one of his events, he said, I'd like to punch him right in the face, I tell you. At one event, a Trump sycophant did just that. And when it asked why he had sucker punched a harmless protester, he lamented, the next time we may have to kill him. Mr. Trump said that if elected, he would clamp down on legal immigration. Promises were made to send stormtroopers into the streets to snatch up the undocumented. Pretty soon, he had his followers shouting, build that wall, build that wall, build that wall. He bragged about the size of his genitalia as millions looked on during the presidential debate. How far was all of this going? Well, I gained a clue during the debate performance with Ted Cruz. Trump insinuated that Ted Cruz was a serial liar, stamping him with the nickname Lion Ted. However, he didn't stop there. Trump insinuated that Ted Cruz had an ugly wife. He alleged that the mother of Cruz's children was engaged in a tawdry, adulterous affair, and he threatened, if you might remember this, to spill the beans on her. If that wasn't enough, Trump implicated Ted Cruz's late father in the plot to assassinate President Kennedy. After Trump crushed him to win the Republican nomination, I opened up the Washington Post one day and saw Ted Cruz sitting at a phone bank with Trump posters behind him, making calls, telling people why they needed to make the man who had said those awful things about his wife and father the leader of the free world. It made for good television, I thought, but could he actually win? And then there was that infamous Access Hollywood tape where he bragged and laughed openly about how his celebrity status allowed him to sexually assault women. After I'd seen that a couple of times, I reasoned, how could this man win the presidency of the United States of America? Is anybody listening to me this morning? Do you remember where you were on election night? November 8th, 2016. Do you remember who you were with that night? Do you remember the pundits and the talking heads pointing at flashy high-tech screens with carefully calculated numbers? The future belonged to Hillary Clinton, they assured us. Occasionally, cameras would take us inside of the ballroom at Trump Tower where sad-eyed followers in red, white, and blue cardboard top hats sat sad-eyed, hands clasped. If all expectations were to be believed, in just hours, they would be going back to their lives armed with a suitcase full of stories about the campaign. And then Wolf Blitzer hollered, Donald Trump will carry the state of Florida. It's a nail biter now. They started talking about the electoral map. And then the words, Hillary Clinton has called Donald Trump to concede the race. I was here that night. It was a Tuesday night. Bible study wasn't well attended that night because people voted and then they went home to see how the election would turn out. I remember walking out of the front door of this building down toward Powell and Market Street. An eerie silence spread over the dark streets. People seemed to be rushing home, anxious to escape some type of cataclysm. The next night, I attended the largest march I'd ever seen in Oakland. It seemed like everybody I knew and his brother was there that night. I'll never forget the anguish. Days later, I remember Omarosa's voice. Every critic, every detractor will have to bow down to President Trump, she said. It's everyone who ever doubted Donald, who ever disagreed, who ever challenged him. It is the ultimate revenge to become the most powerful man in the universe. And now, here we are. I don't have time to unravel the list of craziness that has unraveled itself in the past 2 years. But how do you feel about it? I don't know what side of the argument about women's reproductive rights you stand on, but do you think that that discussion should be held by women or by a bunch of rich white men behind a closed door somewhere? I mean, what do you think? I mean, what went through your mind after a woman lost her life in a melee between nonviolent protesters and neo-Nazis, and the president said there were good people on both sides? Nobody knows what goes through the president's mind, but if I could venture a guess, his thoughts might look something like this. I don't give a damn. Let the polar caps melt. As long as the money on the table gets dealt. No longer to weep, no need to weep. I'm surrounded by sheep. I'm just waiting for them to go back to sleep. I got evangelicals riding the train in my Keep America White campaign. I ain't got no love for the amigo. Y'all seen how I treated them in Puerto Rico. Money talks, that's why they love me. See, I be rapping harder than Cardi B. Bow down to the game, Lord, sell your soul. The only way you can stop me is at the pole. And I, you know, when I think about some of the things and where we stand in history today, just hours away from the opening of the polls, my mind goes back to the words of Dante, who said, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who in times of great moral crisis maintain their neutrality. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, for evil to succeed, all it needs is for good men and women to do nothing. So that leaves us with some questions in the few remaining moments, doesn't it? Are you ready to struggle for the sake of freedom? Are you ready to make a stand on behalf of the disenfranchised and the forgotten? Are you ready to use the power that Almighty God has stamped in the palm of your hand as a member of His beloved human family? Are you ready to resist in the names of Harriet Tubman, Miss Rosa Parks, Ella Baker, Cesar Chavez, Cheney, Swerner, and Goodman, Malcolm X, Huey P. Newton, and Harvey Milk? Are you ready to stand up and resist on behalf of those 8 people who were murdered in that synagogue in Pittsburgh? Are you ready to resist, stand up and resist on behalf of the children? Yeah. Are you ready to struggle so that homeless people and hungry people can live in peace, freedom, and dignity? I want you to stand on your feet this morning, and I want you to say, resist, resist, resist. Resist. Give the Lord a hand clap. Somebody's saying, preacher, what should I do next? What's the next move? Well, the next thing that you need to do, and you can be seated again, is to love. Jesus said, and we need to love. And I'm not talking about this namby-pamby Valentine's Day card love. I'm talking about the radical, unconditional love that we have learned from God, that we have learned in this church. Jesus said, love your neighbors the same way that you love yourselves. Oh, it's easy to get so fired up about injustice that you lose sight of the fact that the people whose views you oppose are human beings just as beloved of God as you are. Jesus' most radical command was that we should love our enemies. Not too many hand claps on that one. Some months back during the People's Bible Study, a young student raised her hand and asked a question that stunned me and probably everyone else in the room. She said reverently, Harry, there are people who hate me so much because I'm transgender that if they could walk into this room and mow me down with a machine gun, they would. She said, teach me how to love those people. That's the kind of thing we're kind of aiming at here at Glide Memorial Church. How are we going to resist? Reverend Cecil Williams has been saying it a long time before I ever walked into this building. We have got to resist with love. And long before Reverend Williams said it, Jesus said it. How are we going to resist? Our forefathers have shown us the way. We are not only going to have to become voters, but activists. Some of us get fired up around election time when we unplug from social justice and the political process outside of that. What do you know about the people who are representing you and the policies and positions that they hold? Lift them up. Write to them. Go to their public meetings. Glide was instrumental in getting Prop C on the ballot. Activists do stuff like that, not voters. Vote yes on Prop C. Let's get housing for these homeless folk. Let's get drug treatment for folk. Let's change the situation and the narrative for the poorest of the poor in San Francisco. Vote yes on Prop 10. How can you resist? Use social media to its fullest advantage. People sometimes ask, if the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. were here today, what would he be doing? I'll bet I can guess with almost certainty one thing he'd be doing. Dr. King will be working social media to death. Dr. King would have a Twitter page. He'd be on Instagram. He'd be on Facebook. Social media is an extension of your voice, your power. Use it to your fullest advantage. With that said, this sermon is going to end in about 90 seconds. Before I go to my next point, I want to remind you that we have communion today at 1 o'clock. We'd love to have you. We're going to go a little bit deeper into the scripture, so I want to invite you to that. But the sermon is going to end in about 90 seconds. And it's going to end differently than perhaps any other sermon that you have ever heard. Because, see, I'm a preacher. I'm not an entertainer. Because I want to propel you into action even before you walk up out of this building. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull your cell phone out of your pocket. Pull your cell phones out of your pocket. Amen. Amen. We'll give you just a second. I want you to click your cell phone on. Now I want you to take it to the camera functions. If you follow me, say amen, somebody. Amen. I want you to turn it on to the camera functions. in 30 seconds now, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to raise your fist in the air. Then I'm going to ask you to pair up and take pictures with the person next to you and the person behind you. Take pictures all over the auditorium with the upraised fist in the air. Take pictures of the folk behind you. Put that picture of us with our upraised fist on your Facebook page. Tag it to your friends. Send those pictures out social media with a simple message and the hashtag, Glide says get out the vote. We shall prevail. Glide says get out the vote. It's in your hands. This is, now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Stand!
Now post those pics. Hashtag Glide Say Vote. Once you're done posting your pics, I want to extend a heartfelt invitation for you to join this beloved community. There are brothers and sisters in the Maya Angelou room waiting to take your information and make you officially part of this beloved community. So before we part ways, I'm going to ask Reverend Harry to give the benediction, and then Vernon's going to come lead us in the final community song.
Lord, you stood with our ancestors in the heat of slavery and segregation. You stood with us through so many people here through injustice. And now, God, we stand with you, looking over our shoulders and holding our hands. God, let victory come this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We're going to sing We Shall Overcome.